Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but there's one thing that I really, really just have a hard time with, and that is waiting. How many of you all like to wait in line anywhere? Maybe you've gone out to a restaurant or something, and you walk up, and they sit back and say, oh, well, we've got like an hour wait or an hour and a half wait. Do you usually hang around, or do you usually go ahead and move on? Most of us are very impatient, not only when it comes down to a something like a restaurant or standing in line at a grocery store or an amusement park or someplace like that. But we also get impatient when it comes to waiting on God. Well, yeah, how are you doing with that? If you had that checkup today, and there was something that God was doing that was big in your life, how are you doing at waiting on His timing? We're going to take a look at that, the aspect of waiting on God as we continue our series on the Exodus. And today's Bible study is entitled Waiting on God, comes out of Exodus chapter 5 and maybe a few verses out of Exodus chapter 6. Grab your Bible, come on back. We'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We trust and pray that your day has gone well and that you're just ready to see what God has to say to us as we take these opportunities to gather around His Word today. A little while ago, I asked you how you were when it came comes to waiting. I don't think I know anybody who sits back and says, man, I just love to wait. I just love to get in line and wait around on things to happen. We want things done. We want them done now. So sometimes we can become impatient when it comes to waiting on God. Now, as you know, we've been talking about the Exodus in our Wednesday Bible studies here for the past several weeks. And just to kind of give you a little bit of background, maybe this is the first time you're joining us, but we get to this point where Moses and Aaron are before Pharaoh. The long wait is over. The day has finally arrived when Moses and Aaron are going before Pharaoh with a message from God that Pharaoh needs to let God's people go so that they may have the freedom to be able to worship Him. Now, this is the moment which Moses was born for. There are some defining moments in our lives, and each and every one of us have something that God has called us to do. Some of us can think back about some of those defining moments in our lives where we sit back and say, man, this is exactly what I was born to do. This is what God put me on this earth to do. And this was Moses' day. Now, if you've been with us through our Bible study, we know a lot of things that took place with Moses from the time that the children were essentially being put to death. Moses, when he was born, his mother floated him down the river in the little basket. Pharaoh's daughter took him home. And essentially, Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house, even though he never forgot his roots. His mother had that chance to instill within him who God was and who he was in God. So therefore, the Hebrews and the Egyptians they were on complete opposite ends of the spectrum. We know that Moses had an issue, that a fight between a Hebrew and an Israelite. He winds up killing a man. He tries to hide it. Probably very shortly after that, same sort of thing happened. There's another Egyptian and Pharaoh, another Egyptian and Hebrew who are having a disagreement. And then the guy says, well, what are you going to do, Moses? Are you going to kill me like you did the other Egyptian? Well, he gets scared. He's in the wind, man. He's moving. So then he's far away tending sheep and meets God at the burning bush. God says, you're going to be my spokesperson. You're going to be the one that's going to go to Pharaoh to tell them, let my people go. All these things that Moses had been through were training grounds to get him where God wanted him to be, doing what it is that God wanted him to do. And folks, things like that don't happen overnight. Maybe you're a new believer and maybe you're frustrated at where you are in your walk with the Lord. Maybe you think, well, I should be further along than I am right now. I know some people that are just like that. Folks, spiritual growth takes some time. When God wants to do some things in your life, just know this. along the way, along the time that you're waiting, God is getting every piece of the puzzle lined up so that when you get there, the puzzle is all together. And sometimes that takes time. You know, God sometimes is clearing the runway before you and I have the opportunity to land. So we're getting to this moment that Moses was born for. I love over in the book of Esther, particularly chapter 4, when Esther is told, you know, she's the queen, and you know, one of her kinsmen says, you know, perhaps you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, in short, what that means is simply this: maybe, just maybe, God has placed you where He's placed you to accomplish what He wants accomplished by using you. Maybe this is your time. Perhaps you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. That was what Esther was told. I believe this was true of Moses when it came time to stand and look Pharaoh in the eye with the message from God that says, "Let my people go." Now, if you were with us last week, we talked about Pharaoh's negative reaction when Moses went to him with that message. God says, "You need to let my people go." And we talked about the fact that Pharaoh rebelled against the plan of God in the lives of the Hebrews. He not only did he rebel against the plan of God, he rebelled against the person of God. He was that guy who said, "Well, who is God that I should listen to him? You know, he's nothing to me." And there are people in our society today that do the same thing. So he rebelled against the plan of God, he rebelled against the person of God, and he also rebelled against the people of God. If you remember, it was one of those situations where he actually made it even tougher on them, because Moses had gone to Pharaoh and said, "God said you need to let my people go." Pharaoh retaliated against them. You know, you'll remember, and you'll see it in our scripture today, because we're in the same passages of scripture that we have been in the last couple of weeks. We're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 5. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn on over to Exodus chapter 5. And we're going to see essentially what took place. We're going to see what it was that happened. We're going to look at Moses and his people as they learn how to wait on God. Some of us have a really tough time with that. That's a lesson that many of us are still in the process of trying to learn. Some days are better than others when it comes down to that. So look with me, if you would, at Exodus chapter 5, and we're going to take a few verses at a time, but we're going to go down to verses 4 through 9. Exodus chapter 5, beginning at verse 4, it says, "Then the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, 'Why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your labor.' And Pharaoh said, 'Look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor.' So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, 'You shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it. They are idle. Therefore, they cry out, saying, Let us go and sacrifice to our God.'" Verse 9, "Let more work be laid on the men that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin this evening. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to once again gather in your name, for your word, Lord, for the lessons that you want to teach us today. Father, I pray that you will help us to learn to wait on you patiently. Lord, I know that it's one of those tough things. We don't want to pray for patience, because the only way we get good at things like that is through practice. We don't want you to throw things at us that are going to make us practice patience, but Lord, help us to always trust and know and understand that you are in control and that your timing is perfect. Help us, Father, to learn today from your word. May the Spirit give us ears to, may you give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say, and Lord, may you use me as your messenger for these moments, that you would be high and lifted up. And Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So now when we get to this particular point in the scripture, you know, Moses has gone to Pharaoh. He said, God says you need to let my people go. And not only did he say, I'm not going to let them go. He said, the people are being lazy. So he begins to retaliate against them. He said, you know, before you got to consider the fact that the Egyptians had been providing the Hebrews with straw to make brick. And he said, not only are we not going to provide that straw for you anymore, you're going to have to go out and get it yourself, and we're not going to cut the quota of bricks that you all are supposed to make in a day. So we're going to give you less material to work with, but we're going to expect you to produce the same amount that you were when we were providing that for you. Some of you all just said, man, sounds like my job. You know what it's like to work in conditions such as that. So what does that have to do with learning how to wait on God? Well, one of the things that we have to understand is that while we're waiting on God, think about where the Hebrews were at this point. Think about the children of Israel. God says, I'm going to show up, I am going to deliver you, but now all of a sudden, things look worse than they did before. They don't look easier. Things weren't better. So what can we learn from this? The same thing that they had to learn and that you and I need to learn today is simply, this is point number one, that daily duties will continue while you're waiting on God. You see, the people expected immediate release. They expected that when Moses went to Pharaoh, that Pharaoh was going to say, oh, okay, you guys take your stuff and leave. And what had happened is they had stopped working as hard as before. They actually had gotten a little bit lazy. I'm not saying that Pharaoh was wrong with what he was saying, but they had stopped working as hard as they had been working before, to the point that it was noticeable by Pharaoh. And he's sitting there thinking, well, this whole thing is getting sideways now. He says, you people aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing. You've slacked off. You're not working as hard as you used to. And their attitude was, well, why should we work so hard? Because deliverance is near. They thought it was going to happen immediately. How difficult is it to keep on track while we're waiting? We have been distracted before. In your life, in my life, I know that you have experienced this somewhere along the way, that when you're waiting on something to happen, how easy it is for us to get distracted. One of the things I laugh about when it comes down to distraction is back in the days prior to COVID, if we had a weather cancellation here at the church, one of the things that we would do is we would put it on the local news station so that it would run across the bottom and say that we were either delayed or we would not be having services for that particular day. Well, they were in alphabetical order. Well, for me, one of the things that I always wanted to do is make sure that that was out there. So, Kelly, our guy who takes care of that, made contact or did whatever needed to be done with the news stations, I would wait and I would watch that scrolling by to see if it was going to come up and say, Central Baptist Church has been delayed. They'll be meeting at 2:00. Just as an example. Well, what would happen would be I'd be sitting there attentively watching that little scroll bar go by, and then when it got down to the C's, it seemed like there was a whole bunch of them before us, even though Central has an E, C-E, it should have come up pretty quick. And as soon as it would get there, something would happen, and I would make a glance over, look somewhere else, and it was past us, or I missed it, or I didn't know it was there. That happens in our lives. It is so easy for us to get distracted while we're waiting on God. Our daily duties need to continue. You can't just sit down. You can't just quit. While you are waiting on God to do something incredible, you need to continue pushing forward. It is so hard for us to keep track while we're waiting on God to do something in our lives. You see, the mistake of some, there are times that I've heard over the ages, people who have set dates for Christ's return. Well, the Lord's going to come back on such and such a date. Well, the one thing I know is that if they say that, that's not the date that he's coming back, because the Bible tells us no man knows the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man shall return. But it's ironic that when I've seen people like this, they were so bought in to that particular thought that they had the date and the time, they quit their jobs and were just sitting around, waiting. Yet some had spent lavishly. They'd spent all their money while they were waiting, as they figured, well, I'm not going to need it when I go to heaven, and I'm going on next Tuesday. So they would do crazy things like that. God called us to be faithful to our daily task while we're waiting on Him. So, you may be in the midst of a job that is just not for you, and you have prayed and you're waiting on God to open some doors for a new job, that doesn't mean that you just simply quit your job that you don't like and walk away from it. You need to be faithful where you are and be faithful to the task that you're doing while you are waiting for God to open up doors for you, okay? Now, that's one thought, you know, as we sit back and as we consider that we need to continue on with our daily duties while we're waiting on God. But there's a second thing that we need to understand too. We need to understand that difficulties may increase while we're waiting on God. Now, remember what I mentioned a minute ago about the brick. Now, all of a sudden, the Egyptians are no longer providing the straw for the Israelites or the Hebrews to make the brick with. Now, it's even tougher. And what happens is Satan will do those type things to discourage us, to make us want to run back to the way things were. Because we're sitting there going, I thought things were going to get better, but now they're worse. So, particularly in the case of Israel, now the same quota of brick is out there before them, but they don't have the materials to make it. So that's going to make it even tough. You know, no more straw in verses 7 and 8 for the brick, but more work. You know, actually, you know, we're going to give them more work because now they have to go out and get their own straw, but we still expect their daily quota to be what it was before. So no straw, more work. And it says in verse 12 that they had to go out there and they were gathering stubble. You know, brick production was to stay on target, according to verse 13. You're going to have that same quota. We're expecting the same amount of productivity from you. And the same is true for you and I, even in the midst of the difficult situations. Difficulties may even increase while you are waiting on God to do that incredible thing in your life. See, our troubles may also increase during this waiting time. Why do you think that is? Why do you think those things happen like that? Well, folks, they're designed to discourage us. Satan wants us to be discouraged. He wants us to lose our confidence in what God can do. He wants us to turn away from God's plan. He wants us to get along with the world's program or his program. And how does he do that? He starts to throw troubles at us. He starts to throw difficulties at us that make us go, oh, geez, if I'd have known this, I wouldn't have even started this journey. I'd be better off if we had just had it like we were before. Did you get that? It would have been better. We would have been better off had it been like before, because at least we didn't have to go out and get the straw. Yeah, that was provided for us. And now things look worse than they do. I've heard this statement many, many times, and I believe that it is very, very true, that some people will say it'll get worse before it gets better. Most of you have probably heard that statement before, because if Satan can try to knock you down, if he can push you back, if he can try to lead you back to the bad place where you were before, because all of a sudden now the bad place looks more comfortable than the new place that God's trying to get us to. You see that? But see, that's not God's plan. That's not his design. So remember, difficulties may increase while you're waiting on God. Our troubles may increase during that time of waiting as well. But while waiting, here's something we need to always do. We always need to remember that God is faithful. He is not going to let us down. He is going to see us through the circumstances. He is going to see us through the situations. Okay? Now, some may become impatient while waiting. Now, it's ironic. Look with me at verses 22 and 23. I'm going to carry on over to the end of that chapter. It says this. It says, so Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it that you have sent me? So, you know, I think Moses thought, well, if I go to him and do like God asked me to do and tell him to let the people go, then God's going to, you know, put it in his heart and he's going to let the people go. So it didn't turn out the way Moses wanted it to turn out either. And we'll know that as we progress on. We'll see all the things that had to take place to get Pharaoh to the point where he was going to let Moses and the people go. So now what's happened is Moses has gone to God. He said, man, this is not the way it's supposed to be. Yeah, notice that once again, verse 22, and this is Moses speaking to God. It says, so Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why are you doing this? Yet not only did Pharaoh not release them, he actually made it harder on them. Yeah. And then he says, in the latter part of verse 22, he said, "Why is it that you have sent me?" It's kind of like, what are you trying to prove here? Why did you send me down here? He's not letting them go. He's actually made it worse. So now, not only can the people lose faith in you, the people can also lose faith in me. You know, this does not look like what I explained or expressed to them. This doesn't look like what you explained or expressed to me. This thing actually looks sideways. Well, folks, let me make you a promise. It is not sideways. God always knows what he is doing. We have to be patient and wait on him. Now, what happens along the way is that some may become very impatient while waiting on God. And that's exactly what we see here when it comes to what Moses was actually saying to God along the way as well. He's like, this is not what we were thinking about. You know, this is not the way that it's supposed to be. Why is it like this? You see, the thing about it is, our waiting may involve other people. You know, it's always interesting when other people get involved, because everybody, you know, at times has something to say about where we are. When I thought about this, I actually thought about Job and his three friends, that were telling him, "Well, Job, obviously there was something that you've done wrong. This has to be you. You wouldn't be going through these circumstances and situations if you hadn't sinned before God." And Job's going, "No, you know, I've really considered it, and I haven't." But sometimes this waiting involves other people, and sometimes other people can get impatient along the way as well. How many times have you been standing in that line, or maybe you've gone to that restaurant we were talking about, and they said, "Well, the wait's going to be, you know, an hour and a half," and then somebody pipes up before you say anything, says, "I'm not waiting an hour and a half. Let's get out of here. Let's go somewhere else." It involves other people along the way. Just like when Moses went before Pharaoh, he is dealing with Pharaoh as the spokesperson of God, and it also involved all of Israel. You know, now Pharaoh is going to apply the pressure to the nation of Israel and to the Hebrew people, just to be defiant to God. You know, to not only defiant to God, but defiant the people would look at it as defiance upon them. Okay, look at the complaint of the officers. Let me take you back to verse 20. This is what the officers were saying. It says, "Then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron and stood there to meet them. And they said to them, 'Let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us.'" Now they're actually blaming Moses. They're sitting there going, it's your fault. Listen, if you hadn't gone and done this, they wouldn't be mad at us. They wouldn't be wanting us to have the same brick production with them not providing the materials. You have created a huge mess, Moses. That is the way they were looking at it. And how many times have we heard that from people in our circumstances and in our situations? When you try to follow what it is that God wants you to do, Satan's going to rise up against it. And even the people that you're trying to lead to a new place, to a new location that is of God, may even look at you and say the same thing that the children of Israel said to Moses. He said, "You done made him mad. Now you've made it harder on us. And nothing's easier. Where's the glory in all this? Where's all this stuff you described?" So they complained to Moses. You see, we must not injure the faith of other people as well. You know, yeah, you have to be calm and subtle and tactical. There's never the chance that we should get uptight with people. It's very interesting that Moses, in a kind and a loving way, there were times he had to correct Israel along the way. There were times when some lines were drawn, but it was always done out of love, because he truly loved the people. Okay, we're to be faith builders. elders while waiting. In the midst of that, we need to find the encouraging words to build up and to edify our brothers and sisters, because they'll come to you, maybe even at you, and say, you might be saying in your mind, well, God doesn't care. He's not showing up. This is not what it's supposed to be. Yet you need to be able to draw some encouragement from God's word. You need to be drawing some encouragement from God's people. That's why the church is not about a building. The church is about who we are. We need to be able to have people in our lives that we can go to that are going to be encouragers, that are going to be faith builders, that are going to lift us up and edify us while we're waiting. The person that can truly say, listen, just be patient. Just hold on. Not yet. Not yet. Don't do anything crazy. Just hold on. You have probably been in the position where somebody kept saying, hold on. Wait. Don't do anything just yet. Be patient. Hold on. Well, later on, you understood that they were right. Okay, you saw how things went. Yeah, don't jump the gun on this thing. And you learned some lessons along the way. Maybe there have been times when you've been the person sharing with somebody. Listen, don't go do something crazy right now. Be patient and wait on God, because He will show up and He will see you through. You know, there was also some effect of the complainers on Moses that we saw there in that verse 22 and 23. Moses went back to the Lord. We talked about these verses a second ago. It says Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on these people? You know, why is it that you have sent me? You know, what are you trying to do? I thought I was here for a reason, but evidently not, because this is not working out. And then he goes on verse 23. He says, for since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to the people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. Wow, that's some pretty strong terminology. He said, you know, I did what you said and you hadn't showed up. In fact, things are, not only are they not better, they're worse. Where are you, Lord? Have you been there before? Has that been something that's been on your lips or in your heart before? In the middle of your crisis, in the middle of your circumstances, when God is trying to do some incredible things, and while you're waiting on Him, how many times have you looked and said, God, where are you? You're just not here. It's like you've turned your back on me. It's like you've turned your back on the situation. God hadn't turned His back on you, and He hadn't turned His back on the situation. But what He is saying is simply this: wait patiently. I've got a plan. I am working my plan. I am working my plan in your life. I am working my plan in the circumstances and the situations that need to be worked out so that you will be able to have a safe landing. I learned that lesson. I've shared this illustration with the folks of Central Baptist on several occasions, but I remember a time when it was one summer. I had to be a lot of different places, and I still remember I'd been to the convention, and it seemed like I hadn't been home in a long time. And I was getting close. I was on an airplane. We were approaching Piedmont Triad International Airport, and you know, next thing I know, it just like we turned and we were circling the airport. And the reason that it felt like that's because that's what we were doing. And the pilot finally came on, and he said, you know, folks, he said, yeah, just be patient with us. We'll be on the ground here shortly. There wasn't a whole lot of information there, and I was like, come on, man, can't we just land this plane? I'm ready to get out. I'm ready to see my family. I'm ready to sleep in my own bed. And man, my attitude got really, really terrible in those moments. And finally, you know, when we landed and my attitude was still horrible, the pilot came on and says, you know, as we taxi up to the gate, he said, yeah, folks, thank you for flying with us. He said, just want to let you know the reason that we couldn't land was that there were a bunch of deer on the runway. They were just standing out on the runway. And then the Lord hit me with it. He said, you know what? He said, what if you'd have tried to, if that plane would have tried to have landed with all those deer on the runway? It could have been catastrophic. We could have crashed. There could have been all kinds of different things. And the Lord gave me a lesson that day. And He said, here's something you need to understand, that sometimes God has you in the holding pattern flying around the circle. And the reason He does is because He's got to clear the runway so that you can land safely. You know, while you wait, while you're in that holding pattern, you need to understand and realize that God is preparing the landing strip for you. He's clearing all the deer and all the obstacles out of the way that could be otherwise catastrophic. Trust Him. Trust him. Okay. Think about the effects that you have. We have got to be encouragers to one another, and we need to be patient, and we need to trust God's will and God's plan for our life because he has one. Okay. And finally, here's something I want you to know that as we think about and consider these things today, that God's delays do not mean that he is going to fail to come through. Okay. I want to carry you over into chapter 6, just the first couple of verses of chapter 6. That says this. Chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land.'" Verse 2, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and said to him, 'I am the Lord.'" Now, God said, "I want you to know something. I'm going to show up, and Pharaoh is going to let the people go. In fact, he's going to want them to get moving out of the land." God, once again, encourages Moses along the way. He said, "I haven't forgotten you. I know what's going on. I've got a plan. You just sit back and you wait on me, because here's what I'm going to do. I am going to deliver the people of Israel. I'm going to do that. You just wait on me to do it in my time." That same message holds true to you and I today, folks. Whatever it is that you are praying about, God is going to deliver you. But God is also going to deliver you in his time, not your time. How are we handling this? Are we a bunch of complainers? Are we just griping and moaning through the whole thing? Or is our focus truly on the fact that God is able? I love what he said to him in verse 2 of chapter 6. He ended verse 2 with, "I am the Lord." That's who he is. Are we remembering that? Are we remembering who we serve as we wait on him? You see, the people doubted Moses and complained. God's promises were still unchanging regardless of their attitude, and deliverance still lie ahead. It wasn't in that particular moment, but it was going to be ahead. Now, you know, the promise that God had given Moses at the burning bush was going to be fulfilled. Remember what he said? He said, "I'm going to use you. I'm going to deliver the people, but you are going to be my spokesperson." That promise was going to be fulfilled. Any promise that God gives us in his word, any promise that God gives us in our prayer life, it is going to be fulfilled. There's never been one that has not been fulfilled. So you can take that to the bank. The Lord's not going to leave you. The Lord is not going to forsake you. But you need to wait on his time, because his timing is perfect. Ours is not. Man, we will mess things up in a split second if we try to do it on our own. But when we wait on God's time, it will come out exactly as he wants it to. Never question in the dark what God gave in the light. He's told us these things. He has said outright, "I am going to deliver the people." Then you can take that to the bank. What are the things that God has told you in your situation in the light? Okay, and you're sitting there going, these are dark days. These are dark times. You can hang on to the promises that God gave you in the light and know for sure that they are holding true even in the midst of the darkest times. Wait on him. See, God makes promises to those who wait. He promises us strength. He promises exaltation. He promises answers to our prayers. And he promises us blessings. All through his word, he gives us those promises. Remember what I said? The things that he gives us in the light, we should not doubt in the midst of the darkness. Hold on to these things. These are the things that will get us through the dark times as we wait till we get to the points of light where God's will is accomplished in and through us and for us, because he has what's best in mind for each and every one of us. So here's the question. Can we be faithful while we're waiting? Are we going to continue on with the work? Put your shoulder to the grindstone and keep on working and keep on working hard until God shows up, because he's going to show up. That I can promise you. Let us expect God to come through in his time. But that's the key thing, in his time, not in our time. What I want to do is I want to pray for each and every one of us today that He will give us the grace and the strength to be able to hold on, to work hard, and to maintain in those dark times, because He has promised us that a better day is going to be coming. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to You now, we thank You so much for the lessons that we can learn through Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the lessons that we learned here, that even when things seem like they're just so sideways and backwards and out of kilter, Lord, You're still there. Lord, I thank You for the promises that You give us in Your Word, and the promises that You make to us when times are good, that get us through the times that are dark and the times that are bad. Lord, just help us to realize that we're not always going to be in those dark, bad times, and that while we're there, You are making a way, and it's going to be a fantastic way. Help us, Lord, to trust You, to never doubt You in the midst of the darkness, that when we come to the light, we will truly have the opportunity to just praise You and praise You good. Lord, I pray You a special blessing upon each and every person who has been around Your Word through this broadcast today. May You bless them and their family. May You encourage them along the way. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, listen, I want to thank you for joining us for our Central Baptist Church Bible study. I do want to give you what we're going to be looking at next week. Next week, actually, we've been in Exodus chapter 5 for several weeks. We're actually going to move on to Exodus chapter 6. That's what I want you to be familiar with this week. Spend some time reading and learning and studying in the book of Exodus chapter 6. And next week, we're going to look at good news for burdened people out of the book of Exodus chapter 6. I know that in times in your life, you've been burdened as well. And I pray that this good news will truly come to you. So join us next week at this same time, as we'll have an opportunity to look at that good news for burdened people. And as always, if you don't have a church home and you live in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love to have you come and visit with us. We do have Sunday school classes that start at 9:30. And we also have our worship service that starts at 10:45. So please stop by and see us. We'd love to see you, to be a part of the family of God and to worship with us in spirit and in truth at Central Baptist Church. Once again, we're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. You can find more information about us on the website at www.oakridgecbc.org. And I look forward to seeing you Sunday. God bless. Have a great week.